Good morning. God bless you. We're so glad you're here today for Easter Sunday. Happy Easter. And we're so excited to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. If you're looking for some seats, we do have a few seats over here. If you got some maybe beside you, if you don't mind scooting in a little bit, we'll have more people coming in. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a joy and honor to worship our Lord and Savior. And it's such a joy and delight to worship with each other. And I hope you know that this is a church, Grandview Baptist Church, that loves God and loves people. And we want to connect with you. We want to get to know you. I've got to meet many new friends today, and we're excited about the great time. Just a few things to remember. If you could, silence your cell phones. That just helps with the presentation. And if you do need, we do have a nursery to my left, your right, right outside here, and very professionally staffed, and it will just be a great time if that is a necessity for you. And we could ask if you could refrain, slipping in and out as few times as possible. It's just our choir and orchestra have worked so hard for this day. You're going to appreciate it. You're going to enjoy it. And we do hope one thing is evident. All the glory will go to God. And we're so excited about that. We do have a little handout you can follow along as you go. And, of course, there's some upcoming events inside of there. Also, if you're visiting with us and you would like more information about the church or you'd like us to connect with you, we'd love to. We have a little gift for you on the way out. There's a little perforated edge here, and this is a visitor card. You could fill that out anytime and drop it in the offering plate as it goes around. That's your gift to us later today. Or you can bring it to the back, and we'll get you a gift bag as well. If you would be so kind to do that, maybe you have a prayer request or some need, we'd love to connect with you. And so those are kind of my announcements. Let's pray, and then we'll get started here this morning. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for this great church and, Lord, this great day we get to celebrate. All of this is possible because you were willing to come to earth to live amongst us and die a death, Lord, and be crucified on Mount Calvary. We know this morning that you didn't just die, but you rose from the grave. And because of that, we can know for sure we're on our way to heaven. If there be someone today that does not know you personally, may they come to Christ today. Lord, be with those still coming in. Give us safety. Lord, may you be with the singers and those who play instruments or those who work the microphones and media and lights and all that. Be with those who are working in our nursery. Lord, be with the egg hunt to follow. Lord, so much great things today. I pray that you will be glorified and you will be honored. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get ready for Only Jesus. Thank you.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Word had spread that a man named Jesus was performing miracles, and people were following after Him by the thousands. They had heard that He had turned water into wine, that He had healed the blind, that He had power over the wind and the waves. Some even believed that this miracle man was the long-awaited Messiah who had finally come.
I knew him as well. As a leader, a Pharisee, I had heard the teachings of Jesus, but I knew he had come from God, for no one could perform such miracles unless God were with him. So I went to him privately at night to learn more, to ask questions. I can still hear his words in my heart. He said, "To see the kingdom of God, you must be born again, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
That come in the night, the crowds grew that followed after Jesus. By multiplied thousands they would come. The sick, the lame, the downcast, the outcast, and he had compassion on them all, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. As the Passover drew near, we traveled with Jesus to Jerusalem. And when the people heard that King Jesus was on his way, they took palm branches and they rode alongside him as he rode into town singing, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord."
Several days later, on the night of Passover, we gathered together with the Lord in an upper room. While eating the meal, Jesus spoke of his death, of his betrayal. And I, of course, was quick to boast that I would willingly lay down my life for him. "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" he asked. "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." Then, knowing fully what was to come, he offered these words of comfort: "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Looking back, I can see it all so clearly. But not that night. The night that we partook of the Passover meal with the Passover lamb.
Thanks Jesus, my son, I still remember when the angel came to me and said, Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. Yet now he has been arrested, beaten, scourged, spat upon, mocked. And though Pilate found no fault in him, he is being led to his death in a place called Golgotha. It's as if a sword had pierced my soul.
Standing there in shadows, remembering his birth, the glory and the wonder when heaven came to earth.
Easter is good news because of the cross. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Peter preached in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and wicked hands have crucified and have slain, whom God hath raised up loose of the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden of it. John, of course, the last apostle to hear from God on the Isle of Patmos, heard Jesus say to him in Revelation 1:18, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Many throughout the last 2,000 years have tried to disapprove or deny or ignore the resurrection of Christ. Such was the case with the Jewish authorities and religious leaders after Jesus had been crucified. And they came to Pilate, and Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." We see, of course, the religious leaders and the governmental leaders made sure that Jesus would be sealed. They were worried that the disciples would come and steal His body. So when Pilate said, "Make it as sure as you can," the Bible says that they sealed the stone in verse 66, and they made the sepulcher sure, and they set a watch. They groaned and they pushed and they strained to get that big rock in front of the covering. And then, of course, I'm sure as they started putting the mortar on, they heard one of the religious leaders says, "Put it on good and thick and make a good batch and make sure it stays." The mortar was very good in those days. In fact, as they've tried to do archaeological finds in Caesarea and tried to get out different things, it's been very difficult to get through the mortar. They put a huge rock that multitudes of people strained to put into place, and they put the mortar all around it, and then they've got a watch of the greatest, most elite soldiers of the day. They armed them with shields and swords and spears and full armor, and they said, "You will guard this tomb. You will guard it and make sure that Jesus doesn't come out." Can you picture it? Dusk has come. It's Saturday night. The rock is in its place. The mortar's all around. The soldiers are standing there with shields and with spears and swords. And no one's going to come in and no one's going to go out. I'm sure as Mary Magdalene and Mary came and maybe a few of the disciples and looked to see if Jesus was there, they saw it as fortified as it could be. I'm sure the religious leaders were quite satisfied. Oh, it was a dark time. The bravest, the strongest of soldiers to guard it night and day. And then something happened. The next morning, Mary and Mary Magdalene and Martha ran to it. The soldiers were there and standing strong. And the angel of the Lord, the Bible says in verse number 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came to the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What can the strongest mortar or the strongest do? Strongest stone do in the face of an earthquake? What can the soldiers do when the powerful angel of the Lord come? They could not hold it. Man had done his best to keep Christ in the tomb, but there was no way. The Bible says in verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning and raiment white as snow." And for fear of Him, the keepers, the guards, those strong and light group with the spears and the swords and the helmet and the shield, we see them fall down as dead people. And the guards get up and they run back to the religious leaders. And they gave their account in verse number 11. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And what did the religious leaders do? Did they believe? No. We see the response was unbelief and conspiracy. They were witnesses of what happened, but refused to believe. The Bible says in verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Could you imagine the soldiers as they stood there saying, that's not what happened. That's not true. And the religious leaders and the government said, hey, we'll give you money. We'll pay you to say nothing. And so that's what happened. They were supposed to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So what did the soldiers do? They took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews that day. May I say today, for many, Easter or the resurrection of Christ is merely an ancient conspiracy theory. In the face of insurmountable evidence, they absolutely refuse to believe the truth and evidence. I was dumbfounded yesterday as our president and the White House chief of staff came out with a ban that religious-themed eggs cannot be drawn upon at the Easter egg hunt yesterday at the White House. No cross, no religion, no Christianity. In fact, they made the day very commonly known as National Transgender Day. May I say today that Easter means the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. People can choose to disbelieve and try to disprove and ignore it. But may I say, Jesus Christ is alive and well. The Bible says in verse number 12, we read that, and we see there's some, though, in this story that chose to believe what they saw. In verse 2, the angel who came and rolled back the stone speaks to them in verse 5 and says, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Why were they scared? They had reason to be scared. But the calm assurance of the angel, he's not here, he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. What did they do? A group of people chose to hear and believe. In verse 9, we see they come, not just hearing and believing, but they come and worship at the feet of Jesus. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. These dear people had felt the earthquake. They had seen the angel. They had even examined the empty tomb. And it all made sense now. They had seen Jesus die on the cross. They had experienced His burial. They had seen the stone rolled into place. They saw the mortar positioned. They saw the soldiers and the guard. And there's no way He's coming out. But yet He is there. And they believed and they fell down and worshipped Him, their resurrected Lord. And then last of all, they were sent to share in verse 7. Jesus says, go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. Dear Christian, this morning, 2024 is no different in trying to share our faith. But may I say, we too have been changed like Mary and Magdalene. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You and I must be willing to show a changed life and to be able to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Years ago, one of the most powerful men in the world, Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin, was a communist Russian leader who took part of the Bolshevik Revolution. He was the editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda. His work on economics and political science are still widely read today. One day, he traveled to Kyiv, and he got up in front of a huge crowd, and he spent a whole hour showering insults, hurling arguments and proof that Jesus Christ is not alive, and that He did not raise, and He is just as dead as anyone else. After an hour, he looked out and was very proud of himself as he saw the smoldering ashes of what he thought was a faith dissipated in that group. He was so bold and confident in himself, he said, "Is there any questions?" For a second, no one moved. There was absolute silence. And then one man got up. He bravely walked to the lectern in front of thousands of people. And he faced this communist, atheistic man. And he said, in a greeting known well in the Russian Orthodox Church, he said, "Christ is risen!" A thunderous roar went through the crowd. And as one, the crowd raised to their feet. And in response, they all shouted, "He is risen indeed." May I say today, He is risen indeed. You have a choice to make. Do I choose to hear and believe? Will I be willing to put my faith and trust in Jesus? I imagine in a crowd this size, there's at least somebody here today that would say, "Pastor Justin, I know. I know I'm a sinner. I've tried to do my best. I've even gone to church and I've tried to do great things, but I'm still a sinner." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. I didn't come up with that. I didn't make that. That was the penalty for rejecting Christ and our sin. I don't know about you, but when I realized that as a young boy, I was devastated until I heard that Jesus Christ was willing to come to earth and be beaten and mutilated and nailed to a cross and shed His blood, the powerful blood and the perfect blood, and cover our sins. The Bible says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I'll never forget the day when I realized I want to receive that gift. I want to accept it in my life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you believe this morning? Will you receive that free gift? You've listened so well. But if I could ask you to do one more thing, would you bow your head and close your eyes? I want to have a word of prayer. But before I do, I have a question for you. Will you believe? Not just can you, but will you believe? Will you accept Christ this morning? I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. I just want to pray for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, "Pastor Justin, that's me. Today I realized that I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to just talk about Him. I don't want to just come to church, but I want a relationship with Him. I want Him to come into my life. Save me. Pastor Justin, will you pray for me?" With heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you. But I'm asking, if that's you, will you slip up your hand real quick? I want to pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand in the balcony, maybe. Say, "Pastor Justin, that's me. I would like to know for sure I'm going to heaven." I see that hand over there to my right in the balcony. I see that over here to my right as well. Many hands. I see that hand right there too. Let me encourage you to pray this prayer that I prayed years ago. A prayer won't save you. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Say something like this in your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I deserve to go to hell. But I don't want to go there. Lord, I believe and trust in You. And invite You into my life so I can go to heaven when I die. Or please come in my heart and save me. Take away my sins so I can go to heaven. I believe and trust in You. Thank You, Jesus." With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, "Pastor Justin, I just prayed that prayer." Will you slip up your hand real quick? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. All over. God bless you. God bless you. How many say, "Pastor Justin, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I believe. But I want to be more consistent in my worship this year. I want to worship our Lord and Savior, not just once in a while, but every week. Every day with my walk with God, will you pray for me? Pastor Justin, if that's you, please lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. I love you. Last of all, how many would say, Pastor Justin, I would love to have the boldness, like these two women, to share my faith. Will you pray for me this week, this year, that I'll share my faith? If that's you, please lift your hand. Lord, you see the hands, you know the hearts. Lord, you did a work today in my life, and I pray in others. Thank you for those who invited you into their life today. I pray that you'll help us to worship you, Lord, to share our faith. Lord, if we have not yet believed, we'll come to know you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
How marvelous it is that the story of Jesus Christ doesn't end in death. It ends in victory. On the third day, several women went to his grave to anoint the body and found that the stone had been rolled away. Upon hearing the news, two of the disciples rushed to the tomb and found that Jesus had risen, just as he said he would.
Child, come alive. Let the grave be opened. Well, we celebrate a risen Savior today. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We are so grateful for each and every one of you choosing to join us this morning. And we're so grateful for you taking time out of your Sunday morning to assemble and join in this great and wonderful celebration. I would like to encourage all of those that helped in the program. Let's give our guests a big hand this morning. We're so grateful to those who work, whether it be what you'd call on the scene or behind the scene. We want to just briefly and quickly acknowledge a few folks that help make this happen. Without them, we're in trouble. And so we just want to thank them so much. First of all, up in the audio-visual booth, we have Roy Harris running the sound. We have Nate Morris running the lights. Vinny Malucci running the screens. And Colby Pennington running them. Okay? All right? All right, let's give them a hand. Over in our orchestra, we have just a wonderful group of talented people. Derek Vestal leading that group, just doing a tremendous job. Did you enjoy the orchestra this morning? Amen. And at the piano, Carissa Dalby does a wonderful job. We're thankful for her. We have some folks who helped us with the backdrop, Tim and Mindy Holman, and they helped us put the backdrop there for our narrators to speak from, and we're so thankful for them. On that note, Mindy did the costumes that you saw the narrators wear and did a tremendous job there. And also our narrators, if you're not standing in the choir, would you please stand? Narrators in the choir, raise your hand. Let's give them a big hand. Tremendous job. Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you enjoy hearing the children sing? I always enjoy hearing the children sing. Kristen, why don't you come on up here with me? I appreciate my wife Kristen working with, with the whole thing. I'd be toast without her. And so I appreciate all that she does as we work together on this program. But practicing with the children. I'm also thankful for Alicia Lehman that helps organize the children, getting them up and down, our pastor's wife. And let's give Alicia a big hand. I love to hear the kids sing, and I appreciate all the work that was done. Alicia, raise your hand there. She's up on the front row smiling real big. And so we also have an interruption here. What's the problem? You want what? If I give you this, you might want more than that. So I don't know if I'm going to. All right, go ahead. I don't know.
There is no one who works harder on any program we ever do than the Vestals. Chris gave me 30 seconds to talk. You just took some of them. We love you both very much. And John?
Hold my notes for me, will you? I'm not going to read this. Okay. I just want to say real quick, as the choir, we all got together. We wanted to thank the both of you. What a team you are. You teaching us music. You directing us.
Making it easy.
Yeah, well, they do a lot of work. So it was the last thing. Oh, we'll just do this.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
The choir, they've all signed it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Well, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Amen. It's a joy. Let's give our choir, teenagers and adults, a big hand. They sang out like crazy. What a blessing that was. I sure hope I didn't miss anybody, but we're thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ most of all. It's because of Him that we assemble this morning, and we give Him the glory for it all. We're going to be dismissed here momentarily, but before we do, we are going to receive our Sunday morning offering. There will be a brief video announcements given about things coming up at church, as well as instructions for the activity outside for all of our children after we're dismissed. Okay? So what I'm going to do at this time, if we can go ahead and dismiss the choirs, children, ladies, if you could help get those seated. Choirs, if you can make your way out. Choir's going to be out in the foyer, and they're looking forward to meeting and greeting each and every one of you. Let's give all these folks another hand if you can today. Thank you so much. We're going to be receiving an offering this morning. And so we want to be faithful in our tithes and offerings, commitments we've made financially. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll enjoy a piano offertory. There'll be brief video announcements, and then we will be dismissed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to assemble today. It is with great joy that we do so. We are so thrilled to be here. We're thankful for your blessings upon our life, your provision. And Lord, as we give back to you, I pray that you would bless it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. We hope the Easter dramatic musical, Only Jesus, was a blessing to you. As a reminder, the 5 p.m. service tonight was replaced by the 7 p.m. program on Friday night.
Baptism Sunday is April 7th. If you have not followed the Lord in baptism and would like to be baptized on this day, please sign up at the Welcome Desk. Invite cards are available as well.
The next Starting Point class will be Sunday, April 21st. Starting Point is an opportunity for you to explore membership at Grandview, to find out more about growing in your relationship with Christ, getting connected and plugged in, and to ask any questions that you might have. Enjoy a delicious meal while learning how to take the next step in your journey of faith here at Grandview. Child care is provided. If you would like to be a part of this class, please sign up at the Welcome Desk. There is something for everyone at Grandview. Awana for children 2 years old through fifth grade meets every Wednesday at 6:30 to 8:15 p.m. And this Wednesday is neon night. There will be fun games and special prizes for the children who are best dressed for the theme. There will also be a teen paintball activity on April 13th for teens in 6th through 12th grade. This activity will be held at Camp Dakota in Scotts Mills, and the cost is $35. The bus will be leaving the church at 9:15 a.m. and returning at 2 p.m.
Many of you remember that in February we had our I Love My Church Sunday schedule. However, due to the health of our speaker and delayed updates on the Family Center, we had to push it back to Sunday, April 14th. You will not want to miss these two powerful services with spirit-filled messages from our special guest, Pastor Gabriel from Pleasant Valley Baptist Church in Chico, California. God is using Pastor Rule to build a thriving church in Northern California. Along with these powerful messages, we will also be giving an exciting update on the progress of the Family Center. I believe God will use Pastor Rule to challenge us in the area of giving toward the completion of the Family Center through a one-time, weekly, or monthly gift commitment in 2024. Will you join me in prayer that God will work in our hearts on I Love My Church Sunday?
On your way out of the service this morning, we have all the Easter egg hunt fields already assembled for all the young people. We ask that if you have a child that's 3 years old and younger and is in the nursery, that on your way out of the service, you would grab them and take them to their field, which is right by the sidewalk and the church office. If you have a child that is ages 4 through first grade, their designated field is located directly by our playground. And then on the soccer field, we have two different Easter fields set up. One for second grade through fifth grade, and then the teen prize hunt for sixth through 12th graders.
If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you, and you will receive a gift card. Have a great week, and we will see you Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Thank you again so much for being here, and let's enjoy our day. You are dismissed.